So this is the end of our First John series, and we're going to look at First John chapter 5, verses 13 to 21. Okay, let's hear. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence that we have towards him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death. There is sin that leads to death. I do not say that one should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is sin that does not lead to death. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God, he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these words. As we conclude John, we want to pray that we really grasp the big picture of what John is about. Lord, encourage our hearts, challenge our hearts, that we may know the truth of who you are and know that we really do have eternal life. We pray this through you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, I wonder what the one thing is that you would love to know for sure. Maybe if you're a bit younger, maybe it's what career I'm going to have. Maybe that's something you'd just love to know, love to have the answer for. Maybe if you're still younger, it's who I'm going to marry. If you're single, who I'm going to marry. Or if I do get married, or when I get married, how many kids will I have? Or when I have kids, will they all be healthy? Maybe it's, will I be healthy? Maybe that's something you want to really know for sure. You want to have the answer for sure. Now, all these things might be nice things to know. There'll be good things to know. But I wonder if I added what then, sort of after all those things. You know, if you think about what then after your career, what then after marriage, what then after you have some kids, until we go right through life, until we get to the end when we die, and then I say, what then? What then? Well, John makes sure that what's really important, we can know for sure. That we can have complete assurance in what God wants us to know for sure. So when John writes this letter, it's what's really important for him. And it's what's really important for God to tell us, is that we may know that we have eternal life. That's the most important piece of information you could ever want to know for sure. If you look through these passages in John, in these verses 13 to 21, there's a repeated word, know, know. We know, we know. I want you to know. So often we make the less important things in life important. We want to know who's posted what on Facebook, who's liked our post, who's commented on our post. We want to know how the latest Avengers movie ends. They're the things we want to know, we desperately seem to want to know. And so often we have a desire to know all the things that have really no significance in our life. And we miss the big picture of what God wants us to know. John doesn't want us to miss the big eternal picture of Jesus. The story is a story of the Bible is about us knowing the God who loves and redeems our broken, fallen world. And as John has already told us, this world is passing away. It's passing. It's chapter 2, verse 17 in John. You'll need your Bible to follow along, unless you can remember all these things. So John gets right to the heart of God's story. Our lives don't end here. Our God has eternity with him as his goal. And so our God gives eternal life to all who believes in Jesus, the Son of God, the Christ. Eternal life in fellowship with an eternal God. That's the goal. And this is what God wants us to know for sure. And as we know it, we can walk with complete assurance in what God tells us. So as we studied John, we saw clearly that those of us who do have eternal life will live as a child of God. We are overcoming sin. We're not sin-free, but we're continually practicing righteousness. Because we now belong to God's family, we are children of light, we are changed people. So as we read these verses in the end of John, there are three themes that God wants us to know as we read them. Firstly, overheads, always forget them. Oh well, they'll have to take care of themselves, sorry about that. First point is that we can know that we have eternal life. That's the first point. We can know that we have eternal life. Second point is that we can know that God answers our prayers. And the third point is that we can know we belong to God. We can know we belong to God, that we're safe, we're secure. Okay? Phil. And if I turn it on, it will work too. Yep, all good. Yep, that's all right. So our first point we're going to look at is that we can know that we have eternal life. Verse 13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. That you may know. The first know is the big one. It's to know you have eternal life. I'm trying to look for my water bottle. Here we go. Need a water bottle. So the first big one is that we can know we have eternal life. God really wants us to know that we really do have eternal life. Often, sometimes in Christian circles, the gospel is presented very, very shaky, very much like we can lose our salvation. But God wants us to know that we can have it for sure. Knowing that you have eternal life is connected to knowing and believing in Jesus. And as I read these words in John, it tells me that my God really loves me. My God, your God, really wants you to know for sure that you're safe in Jesus. There is no second guessing. So often, like I said, people have a different viewpoint on this within Christian circles. But for us, so often, we think that God doesn't love us because God doesn't give us our dreams. Thinking back to all those things that we want to know, the job, the relationship, the good health, the success, whatever it is, we often think that God doesn't love us because we don't get those things, the things that we want. But God wants us to know what's really important. It's eternal life. It's being transformed from darkness to light in Jesus. It's standing before God because sin has no power over us in Jesus. It's knowing that we have an eternal fellowship with God, that nothing can separate us from that. You see, I think that we need to be reminded of these truths. God wants us to know what he says because God knows we need this assurance. John writes that they already believe in verse 13. They already believed. These were followers of Jesus just like you and me. They needed assurance. They needed to know that they really do have eternal life. And John's saying, you really do. You really do. You had it the day you believed in Jesus. When you turned from loving the world that's passing away to putting your faith and trust in Jesus. That's when you had it. You put your faith and trust in Jesus, the very eternal life from God. But just like them, we need good reminders. We all need to go to what God says and hear him speak to us to remind us of these words. In doing so, we hear those words, yes, you have eternal life through Jesus. What a great assurance that we have. Especially for John's listeners. John's listeners would have been confronted with many teaching a false Jesus or a path to eternal life that was false. A path that never offers assurance. A path that only offers fears and doubts as to whether you're religious enough or whether you have enough spiritual life in you that's enough knowledge maybe with what the Gnostics would have been teaching in, as we've looked at in this book, the Gnostics who oppose the gospel. But if you're in Jesus, the eternal life of God, you know for sure that you have eternal life. There's no need to doubt. No need to doubt God's ability to make you his child. God hasn't left us guessing. He wants us to know for sure. God hasn't left it up to others to tell us about how we are qualified according to their list, according to their idea of spirituality. It's clear it's about Jesus, the life that has appeared. And that we have Jesus. We have life. We have our King. We have our Redeemer. So that's our first point. Our second point is that we have a God. We have a God that we can pray to, and we have a God that we can know that answers our prayers. So we can know that God answers our prayers. This is the confidence, verse 14, that we have towards him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of him. I wonder how confident we are when we come to God in our prayer. I wonder if you sometimes think, oh, God doesn't really listen to me. Does God really care? Well, the Gnostics would have been threatening these Christians. They would have been claiming some spiritual superior life. They would have claimed they had divine access to God, more than just the average person. Part of their religion was some higher ascension into the spiritual realms, higher knowledge of the mysteries of God. That was what they were about. And so you could imagine these Christians who already believed in Jesus would have felt intimidated by these people. Maybe they felt their prayers aren't spiritual enough for God to hear them. And we can have threats like that within our Christian circles sometimes. People may say, when I pray, I have this deep relationship with God that you can never experience. They might write a book, buy my book, and you can have that deep relationship with God. But God wants us to know that we don't have to run around chasing such nonsense. That we do have access to God because we are children of God. We have access because of Jesus. And if anyone teaches different, maybe it's attractive or new, whatever it is, don't allow them to lead you astray in this. Rather, we are to enjoy the truth that God is our Father, and to have complete confidence that God hears our prayers. We'd have confidence that God hears our prayers when we pray in accordance to his will, is what it says. Now, often we say, your will be done at the end of a prayer. It's not a magic formula. Maybe sometimes we say that and we have doubtful, like we got all these great hopes for what God would do, and you say, but you know, your will be done, Lord, like as if you're some meanie in the sky. That's not the key. The key is confidence coming to God. As we saw a few weeks ago in chapter 5, God loves us. We are his children. Because God loves us, his will is best for us. It is the best thing for us, and we can trust and hope in that. Already we've seen it's God's will that we are made his children. We've seen that right throughout the book of John. We've already seen that it's God's will that he give us the gift of eternal life through Jesus. Once again, God has the best for us. His will is best for us. God's will is for us to practice righteousness as his child. Rather than pursuing sin, we say no to sin. It's not that we're sinless, but we say no to sin and we pursue righteousness. And we saw this in chapter 3, verses 5 to 10, and then John repeats it at the end in verse 18 of chapter 5. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning. God's will, as we've seen already, is to obey Jesus, what he commands us through his word. We looked at that in chapter 2, verses 7 to 8, and chapter 3, verses 23 to 24. This is God's will for our lives. When was the last time, I wonder, when you prayed, "Lord, help me to live as your child"? When was the last time you prayed, "Lord, help me overcome this sin that I know shouldn't be overpowering me"? When was the last time you prayed, "Lord, help my brother in Christ, help me love them as I ought to, help me to trust my life to your care"? When was the last time you prayed things like that? When was the last time you prayed for God's will to be done in your life? I think this is the kind of will John is referring to here. Because John knows we still sin, but we need to ask for God's help. We need Jesus, the eternal life, to keep giving us life as we say no to sin and yes to him on a daily walk. That's why John then goes on to these verses, which are somewhat debated, in verses 16 to 17 of chapter 5. Once again, we get a complicated bit of the Bible. We've had a couple of ones last week that have various opinions in Christian circles, and all by good Christians. And so we have another debated verse. Verse 16. "If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask and God will give him life. To those who commit sins that do not lead to death, do not lead to death there. This is sin that leads to death. I do not say that anyone should pray for that. All wrongdoing is sin, but there is a sin that does not lead to death." Like I said, these verses are debated. There's about three or four opinions on it by good Christians who wrestle with these things, which I think is a good thing. Some think it's physical death, maybe a sin like murder that they might have been executed at that particular time. Some think it's a blaspheming the Holy Spirit, going back to what Jesus said to the Pharisees. Some think it's when a believer sins, his sin won't lead to spiritual death, whereas a false teacher, as they continue to sin, they're leading to death, in a sense, spiritually. Let's have a think about some of these things, particularly let's have a think about the verses. The only time that John seems to mention the word death in his letter is 3:14, which we read out earlier, which Beck read out. "We know that we are passed out of death into life, because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death." So that's one aspect where he uses death. Then in John's Gospel, because we're not sure about things in John's letter, a good idea to go to John's Gospel, because he's the same writer. "And truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life." So the idea of death, when John presents it, seems to indicate a spiritual death without Jesus, whereas life is spiritual life, which is eternal with Jesus. Like I said, there's a few different opinions on this, but I think the best way to understand this text is that as John has already explained, that even though we are children of God, we still sin. And if we say we don't sin, then we make God a liar. We saw that earlier in John. So as followers of Jesus, we still struggle with sin. John tells us in verse 17 of chapter 5, all wrongdoing is sin. So whatever we do, any wrongdoing, it's sin. Regardless of what we may think sin is, all wrongdoing is sin according to God. Yet as we've seen in John, if we have sinned, we have confidence in Jesus as our propitiation for our sins. He's the one that shields us as taken the wrath of God. And so we have that hope that one day when Jesus returns, we'll no longer sin, which is very clear in John. So even though we are still sinning, our sin doesn't lead us to spiritual death. We are moving towards life. We may struggle with sin, but we still have life as a child of God, because in Jesus we are passed from out of death into life. But we still want to see God's will in our lives and in other people's lives. And so we pray for our brothers and sisters as they struggle with sin. Why? Well, we love them. We want God's will for their lives. And we pray for each other to overcome sin and practice righteousness. Yet we also know that we all need God's help, and we need the life of Jesus in us. So we can't help people with our own strength. We need God to help them overcome sin. So we pray that Jesus gives them the life when they struggle with sin. We pray that the Holy Spirit will help them overcome sin. That's how I understood it. But like I said, there's various opinions on this. Now in this verse, John doesn't talk about confronting them about sin. Other parts of the Bible do, but for whatever reason, John doesn't include that here. He hasn't included it. John's focus here is that we pray for our sinning brothers and sisters. Notice in the verse about sin that leads to death, the idea of brother is absent. So some think this could be referring to the false teachers that denied Jesus. So as they sin against God, it's leading them to spiritual death anyway. So what is the point of praying for them to overcome their sin? It's heading towards death. Whereas, although the believer's sin won't lead them to spiritual death, whereas theirs will, because we have Jesus as our propitiation of our sins. I think that's how Bryson Smith described it in his study that you've been going through. And so this week I agree with Bryson, but last week I didn't. So John is saying, don't waste your time praying for the false teacher to overcome sin. Pray for the struggling believer, asking God to help them with their sin, because they actually have the power of the Holy Spirit in them to be able to do that, to help them, to bring them life. Okay. So as we are praying, clearly the love of God is at work in our church because we're loving our brothers, aren't we? So often we're praying for colds and sickness. I know people are praying for Kath this morning. That's great. But we hardly ever pray, I'm talking about in your private prayers, for those who are struggling with sin. Do we ever pray for them? I think we could agree that when John talks about praying, he's not talking about a prayer and shared time, but more of a private prayer. A time we pray for them. Keep praying for the colds, but don't miss what John is saying is important. But I wonder, when we think about this, what John is challenging us with, do we actually go to God first in prayer when we know a brother or sister is struggling with sin? Or do we go and tell other people? Do we go and say, oh, this person's struggling with sin. Oh, I wish they would grow up. Do we do that? Because John tells us not to do that. John tells us to go to God in prayer. Rather than gossip, we go to God in prayer. I think so much energy is spent running around telling other people about people's struggle with sin rather than telling God. And I think if we could transfer that energy that we have so passionately about telling other people about other people's sin and transfer that into praying for those people, we will see transformation in our community. So when someone is talking and gossiping about another person's sin, I think a good opportunity is to say, hey, let's pray for them. Hopefully they're reminded of 1 John 5 when you do that. Hopefully they're convicted. Maybe you could pray for them as well in their struggle with sin of gossip. Pray that God will help us. I think we all can be convicted of this. I'm convicted. Pray that God will help us all as we struggle with our sin. So God wants to have confidence when we pray. Why? Because we have a true and living relationship with our God. We have fellowship with God through Jesus. And we are part of God's family who love each other. And as we pray for one another with their sins, we can see the love of God being perfected in us as well. And we have assurance that when a brother sins, they will not spiritually die, because Christ has dealt with their sins. Our third and final point is that God wants us to know that we are safe. Wants to know that we belong to him. Verse 18. We know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are from God, and the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding, so that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, and in his Son, Jesus Christ. He is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourself from idols. Well, we can know for sure that if we have eternal life, then our God is for us, not against us. Thinking back to those things I mentioned at the beginning as things that we may want to know, you know, things about our career, our marriage, children, health, all those sorts of things. God has the big picture of our lives taken care of. I want you to think about that. The big picture, the eternal picture, is taken care of. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, as it talks about in Romans. God wants us to know that Satan, the evil one, has no power over us. Often some Christians run around as if Satan is the all-powerful one. No, we have victory and confidence in Jesus. Jesus is the victorious one. Satan is defeated. We've got to get that right. Death has been defeated on the cross. And the darkness will never overcome the light. In fact, it's the opposite way around. The light is overcoming the darkness. As we've seen in 2 John 2, verse 19, we are in the last hours. The darkness is coming to an end. We saw this in chapter 5, verse 4, that our faith in Jesus is connected to our victory in overcoming the world. So, we can have confidence and assurance that Satan has no power over us. Satan cannot steal our eternal life. If we are born of God through Jesus, we have a clear promise: God will protect us. And the evil one will not touch us because we belong to him. John wrote in his gospel, and this is Jesus speaking. We know it's all Jesus speaking as we hear the letters of John. But in chapter 10 of John's gospel, verses 27 to 29, this is what Jesus said to the crowds, or particularly to his disciples. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them from out of my hands. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. Think about that, greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hands. I and the Father are one. Now God is greater than all. No one can snatch you out of his hands. These are very assuring, very comforting words that we can know as we study John, as we study both John's gospel and his letter. Yet we see in verse 19 of chapter 5 that although we are from God, the world still remains in darkness. So I'm getting a bit of a sore throat, which doesn't surprise me considering everyone in the house has had a sore throat nearly. But when we get to verse 19, that we see that although we are from God, the world still remains in darkness and in the power of the evil one. So there's no surprise when people do hate us. There's no surprise when our culture does make laws against us. We're not surprised when people we know do follow false teaching. So although our world and culture may seem like a broken mess, because yes, there is still Satan at work, we can stand confidently that we belong to God. We can stand as his children. And although many are powerless because of Satan, because of the evil one, that's what it says, we have God on our side, who is the life that overcomes death. We have this understanding, verse 20, from God's revelation, that the truth of who Jesus is, we know it. It's through John and the apostolic gospel, we have this truth, that Jesus is the true God and eternal life. And so because of this, John's last line of his letter is to remind us to keep ourselves from idols. Don't be lured by the false teaching and idolatry, but know who you are as a child of God who belongs eternally to our Father. Well, there's plenty to learn as we've been going through John. Clearly our God wants us as his children to walk with complete assurance that in Jesus we are clearly born again, born as his children. That we no longer remain in the power of darkness. That we have the revealed truth of Jesus through John, through the apostles. And so we can stand before our God confidently. We can come to our God in prayer with complete confidence that he hears us and he answers according to his will. And if we think about God's will for our life, if we think about that eternal life as the end result, I think we can trust God in everything from now to that point. If God's place is for eternal fellowship with Him in all eternity, if that's the end picture for our lives, then we can walk with assurance right now in the bits from now to then, knowing that our God is in control. But from now to Jesus' return, He is working for our best, because we can see the end result is for our best. Just as we trust Jesus with our eternal life to keep it safe, we can trust Him right now today. We can trust Him as we walk in fellowship with Him, because we have a God as our Father. Think about that. Who loves us. And as we looked a few weeks back, who loves us before we loved Him. That's what it says in chapter 5. And so we can trust also those who are in God's family to God as well, even though they may sin, knowing that God will keep them from spiritual death, just as He keeps us. But we're also reminded to go to God for them if we see them struggling in sin, rather than go and tell everyone else. We know that God who loves us, we know that. And we know that Jesus has dealt with our sins, so we can stand sure about that. We have the Holy Spirit in us giving us life. We can stand complete confidently in those things. This is who we belong to. So don't allow some idol, some fake thing that leads to death to rule our lives, but believe and follow Jesus, who is the true God and eternal life. Well, as we conclude, let's think about John. Let's think about his letter. He starts his letter with Jesus, the eternal life, has appeared. And John ends his letter with the assurance in knowing that you have that eternal life in Jesus. So let us all walk with complete assurance, trusting in Jesus as the one who has given us eternal life. I'm going to pray, but then after this, I want you guys to pray. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to go through and explain some prayer points. Father, thank you for these words. They challenge us, they convict us, but they also give us the greatest comfort and the greatest assurance we could ever have. Lord, the fact that you want us to know these things shows us so much that you love us. What wonderful truths that we can walk each day with hope, even if we struggle with sin. We know that you have dealt with them. Even as we see our brothers struggle with sin, we have a great hope that we can pray for them, because you are the eternal life. You are the one that brings life. Lord, we thank you for these amazing words that help us to love you more and love our brothers and sisters more. Lord, we thank you that you have not left us guessing. Thank you, Lord, that you haven't left it up to some spiritual guru to lead us the way. But Lord, we have the truth already about you. And we can come to your word and see that testimony there. And we can have hope. We can have hope not just now but for all eternity because of you. Thank you, mighty God. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for dying for us, taking our punishment. Thank you, Father, for loving us even when we didn't love you. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for being in us and giving us the life that we need to have this confidence, to have this power to overcome sin through you. Thank you, Almighty God, we pray. Amen. Well, what I was thinking was, I thought as these words challenge our hearts this morning, I think we all need to pray. We all need to pray. And I think what I'd hope is that you can just spend a quiet moment praying. Now, the first thing I thought about, well, why not pray and thank God that we have eternal life? If you're trusting in Christ and you believe in Him and you believe that He has taken the punishment for your sin, then pray and thank Him for that. Thank Him for that. Thank you. Thank Him that you know that you do have this eternal life. Secondly, I thought of praying. I'm going to put this on the. I've got this on the overhead. Praying. If you can see that, praying for your brother or sister you know is struggling with sin. You know, maybe you know someone who's struggling with anger or patience. Probably the vice versa of probably connected a bit. Sexual temptations, gossip, pride, other lusts. I just thought of a few. I'm sure you know a brother or sister, but pray for them. Pray that God will help them overcome that sin, that temptation, whatever it is. And thirdly, thank God for his protection over you. And pray that the Holy Spirit will help protect you from idols that will come your way. Now, if you don't know God, if you're not sure about Jesus, but believe you want to make the next step in knowing him, well, maybe you can pray. Spend a time praying that Jesus helps you to know him, so that you too can know for sure that you have eternal life in him. So I just want to bow. And then when you're finished, just feel free to go and have a cup of coffee and encourage each other. So let's just spend a quiet time in prayer.